Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We've made it to May 1st, everyone. Happy Thursday, May the 1st, as we get closer to the NFL schedule release coming out the 14th. The Saints minicamp for rookies will be held next weekend, and then the round of organized team activities also cranking up this month. So busy, busy time always until we get to that July, June-ish time before the official start of NFL training camps. NBA playoffs, I should say, going on right now. And got really excited and told Charlie just before we got on air, I was excited to see that we've got college baseball in action today. No, it's not LSU, but a pretty significant game with Texas and the Hogs taking the field.
Yeah, UT is in Fayetteville right now.
Right.
So Texas versus Arkansas, you know, we can share updates throughout. I have it up on ESPN2 for those interested. You know, Zach Ruth, the ace for Arkansas, goes 3-up, 3-down in the top of the first inning. And this is, I guess, like an early scouting report for LSU's next opponent because they play Arkansas next weekend.
Right.
A good team that's kind of fallen off a little bit in recent weeks, Steve. They've lost, I think, 3 straight weekend series. So, I mean, they're going up against a Texas team that's kind of cruised through SEC play so far. But this is also, for Texas, their first real road test in the conference. Like, they haven't played any one of Arkansas's caliber away from home just yet.
Want to say earlier today, you know, cruising around the internet, saw on WWL, the Twitter page, our host Newell Norman hanging out at Jazz Fest. We need to get the hook up with a booth out at Jazz Fest for sports talk.
Yeah.
Because, man, oh, man, between the music and the food out there, one of my favorite places, things to do in this city since I moved here. I know everybody talks about Mardi Gras and it's gaga over that, but for me, it's all about Jazz Fest.
Never been.
Man, Charlie, I got to definitely take you.
Yeah, maybe one day. I think we're kind of running low on time to do it this year, Steve, but no, I've never been.
Yeah, you definitely, when the names come out and the cubes, as they say, the first weekend, usually we are inundated with the NFL draft, so forget about that.
Right.
It's second weekend that we get to take part in, and hoping things clear up enough on Saturday where I can enjoy the festivities.
And that's why, you know, a lot of folks were asking, when will New Orleans get the draft here? It's just, you got to be able to plan it at a good time when Jazz Fest isn't conflicting with the scheduling of it. It doesn't really work, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it could be worked out. They play in the Super Bowl around sometimes when the Mardi Gras is happening here and you can't have the big game in the Superdome. But to have the NFL draft here would be amazing. But, you know, besides, you know, the Jazz Fest going on, there's also the Zurich Classic, too, so it definitely puts a strain on the hotels in the city.
Yeah, it's that late April, early May. It's a busy time. And I will say this, you know, I don't think we've really brought this up, but Green Bay was awesome as a host for the NFL draft. I know that I think Detroit had more people there last year when they hosted it in 2024, but Green Bay as a host, it felt like a great football weekend in a great football town. So I just wanted to give props to them. because it was a really cool atmosphere for the 2025 draft.
That was something the NFL, I feel, did do a great job in correct, is the fact that it was year in and year out so long held in New York City, and then to take the show on the road and have different venues each and every year, bringing it to your NFL cities,
yeah,
that's a huge plus, man.
No, it's cool. I mean, you kind of throw a bone to a bunch of fans, especially, you know, the cities that don't host many Super Bowls either.
Right.
Like, you can host the draft, and it's still a gigantic event.
Like you said with the Green Bay folks, they're like, we know we're never getting a Super Bowl here, so we're glad to have this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's throwing a bone to those fans. And it's also, once again, the draft is booming. We talked about this the other day when the viewership numbers came out. It's a gigantic event right now, and it's only going to keep getting bigger and bigger as the years go by. So yeah, no, it's a cool thing that the NFL is doing, giving it to some cities, and we'll see. I think it's in Pittsburgh next, Steve, for 2026.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's also going to be fun.
You know, talking about the NFL draft, one thing the Saints did not address was the wide receiver. A lot of speculation has been about maybe possibly signing a free agent like a Keenan Allen, has some experience with Kellen Moore in the past. I haven't heard many people bring up the name Amari Cooper, but NFL.com has a piece right now talking about Amari Cooper landing spots. Cowboys, Eagles among the seven best fits for the top free agent wide receiver. But on that list and rundown of those teams, you find the New Orleans Saints. It reads here, the Saints have a fine top three in Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and free agent addition Brandon Cooks, who returns to the Bayou after 8 years around the league. The depth, however, is sorely lacking, with 2024 fifth-rounder Bub Means next up on the depth chart. Given what the club went through last year with injuries to Olave and Shaheed, in addition to a 31-year-old Cooks withering production, some veteran help wouldn't hurt. Cooper spent the last three seasons in Dallas with Kellen Moore, the Saints' new head coach, as his offensive coordinator. That familiarity could help get Cooper back on track, even with potentially fewer targets available. I'm definitely be on board with kicking the tires on Amari Cooper. I think 29 years old still right now. 30 years old. He's June 17th. He'll turn 31. So he is currently 30 years old wide receiver, and someone that Kellen Moore is definitely familiar with as well.
Yeah, he fits the billing too for what they need in this wide receiver room. At the same time, like, I think Dallas is probably the landing spot for him, unfortunately, especially because if you're looking at the Cowboys draft and they didn't get a receiver either, it wasn't a good receiver class in the first place, and we've talked about that before. Like, outside of a couple guys, Tet McMillan, who went to the Panthers with the eighth overall selection, there weren't really, like, Jaden Higgins, who went early in the second round to the Texans, Jack Besh, who we were talking about last hour.
Yeah.
There weren't many big receivers in this class. There was a lot of kind of smaller slot guys. Now, the Cowboys, they went their first three rounds, and they went best player available on their board every single pick. Tyler Booker with the 12th pick, the guard. Donovan Esaraku, who somehow fell to the second round, was there. And then Savone Revelle, who somehow fell to the third round. So, like, they had a great draft class, but a lot of fans were kind of complaining that, hey, we didn't get our wide receiver to put next to CeeDee Lamb. I think that's where they're going to go in the veteran market and go bring in Amari Cooper to be their wide receiver, too. I would be surprised if he doesn't go to Dallas. But if he wants to come to New Orleans, yeah, absolutely. That would be a cool fit.
Yeah, if the Saints are interested, I'm just wondering if maybe Coach Kellen Moore, since his past relationship with a guy like Cooper, could sway him here, saying, you know, obviously he's not in Dallas anymore, so if he comes over to New Orleans,
yeah,
definitely familiar with the head coach, and if he's comfortable with him.
Yeah, Jerry's got some pull, though, as well. Jerry Jones.
Jerry's got some money as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see where he ends up. He's going to be one of those, you know, veteran receivers that takes advantage of a wide receiver needy team.
Yeah.
The Saints are on that list. The Cowboys are on that list. The Eagles, I guess, are kind of on that list.
They're on this list for Cooper as well, along with Buffalo Bills, New York Jets,
so
Las Vegas
Buffalo.
Raiders, and the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, all those teams. Just like there's not enough quarterbacks, it kind of seems like there's not enough receivers. And even if you have two, who's the third guy type of thing? So, yeah, it's an interesting player to bring up. But, yeah, you're right, Steve, that the Saints do have a major glaring hole in their wide receiver room.
Yeah, curious to see how they fill it. And wondering, you know, I mentioned, you know, reading off a guy like Bub Means going into year two, his rookie season, not very productive because he dealt with injuries. But someone we got to talk to at the Super Bowl Radio Row, great guy, sitting down with him and hoping that he can take that next step positive forward in this wide receiver room, and curious to see what Kellen Moore can get out of a guy like Bub Means.
Opportunity,
yeah,
you know,
right?
Like, you got to take advantage of it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, once again, you have a very small receiver room with Olave, Shaheed, and Cook. So those are your top three guys. Bub Means is the fourth guy, as the article had mentioned. Amari Cooper would be a good fit. I just don't know if he would pick the Saints over going back and reuniting with the Cowboys.
The Saints can sure outspeed you, though.
Yeah, that's a fact. We'll see. I mean, Kellen Moore, he's got some fun tools at his disposal, but that big possession receiver is something you definitely need.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can chime in on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. When we get back, we'll get into some NBA playoff talk. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel, one of the best, joins us right after this. Stay tuned right here on WWL.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're back here on Sports Talk, and on the line with us, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, thanks so much for joining us. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. It's always good to be with you. And finally, these playoffs, there's some interesting stuff going on night to night now, which is cool.
Yeah, Nick, for me, I thought for sure last night the Lakers at home would be extending this series against the Minnesota T-Wolves, but what do I know? Rudy Gobert comes up and just dominates the game and sends the Lakers packing, and definitely not complaining about that, especially around these parts.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're as popular and interesting as much as the Lakers drive the conversation. When they finally go down, I think there's people all over the place that are going, oh yeah, okay. But I'm with you. I walked into that game last night thinking to myself, all right, if the Lakers have the type of pride that they have shown in the past, they're not going to get knocked out by the Timberwolves at home in game five. And more than anything else, they just looked exhausted. And I know there's a lot of talk about J.J. Redick and his minutes pattern, especially in the second half of game four the other day in Minneapolis. The reality is that team looked old and they looked tired. And on top of LeBron with where he's at in his career, Luka with the back, Reeves just wasn't very good. And when you combine those things against a team that has an Anthony Edwards and has Gobert playing at the level he's at, well, there's a reason why there are now people going, okay, Minnesota, maybe they're not just a one round and out part of their year right now.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I loved the shade from, like, Mark Williams. You remember, like, the trade that got nixed ahead of the deadline?
Oh, yeah.
He was just posting, like, a smiling emoji, and all these Laker fans were all up in their feelings. It was definitely funny, but that was the one thing. I mean, it's a flawed roster for the Lakers. They don't have any big men. They don't have any center. They kept the camera kept panning over to Jaxson Hayes on the bench. J.J. Redick, he's unplayable. So if that's your center, yeah, you have some troubles, and that's why Rudy Gobert went as nuts as he did last night. My question for you, though, Nick, is that, you know, I know Adidas is kind of advertising Anthony Edwards as the quote-unquote Kingslayer, right? Last year, he takes out Kevin Durant in the first round and then Nikola Jokic in the second round. This year, he takes out Luka Doncic and, you know, LeBron James in one fell swoop in the first round. Anthony Edwards, like, if they go on another deep playoff run, he's going to start to establish himself as one of the premier stars in basketball.
There's no question, Charlie. When you look at the rise that he's been on the last couple of years, but who he keeps knocking out when they do get these chances, it does feel like he is positioning himself as being that next face. And I know he talked about it and kind of pushed away from the responsibility that comes with that. But when you have that type of talent and you have the type of personality that he has shown, I think the sky is the limit for him right now. As we know, if you're coming into that role, you have to continue to win. And that's really the next step for where Minnesota is at. We've seen them have success. We saw it last year. Can they continue to build on it now? We're going to find out. But as far as Edwards and that group goes, when you watch them, you're watching a team that is hitting its stride at the right time. And when you have that in the playoffs, you have a group that can accomplish anything that it wants.
Looking at now the T-Wolves moving on, who's it going to be? They're going to end up facing Rockets, Warriors. That was another game last night. I thought Golden State might be able to close out the Rockets, even though it was in Houston. But, man, oh, man, it was – you know, slim pickings around for the Warriors. Nobody really showed up for that team last night.
Well, I was texting with some of my buddies who cover that team, and I was telling them I felt bad that they even made that flight.
Oh.
Because it felt like they took a bye. I mean, we saw it actually last year when they played against the Grizzlies in that closeout game in Memphis and then just got absolutely demolished. And you're kind of looking at them and you're going, you know, I don't know, but I don't believe that Houston can beat this Warriors team with Steph and Jimmy and Draymond three straight times. It was a heck of a win for them last night. They extend what they needed to do, but if Steph can get that hand feeling okay, and that's the big key for me going into this next game here. If he's feeling all right, I think they're going to win, and that would be a hell of a series between those two teams coming up in the next round. But if he's not right, then, guys, anything is possible. In Houston, for the flaws that they've shown as a young team, if you're taking Steph Curry off that team, as great as Jimmy is, I don't think that they're going to have enough. So, as usual with the Warriors, everything revolves around Steph, but count me in the group, and it seems to be getting larger every day, that wants to see that Warriors-Timberwolves series.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second.
Nick, there's two teams in this playoff that are just sitting back on their couch and laughing right now, and it's OKC and Boston. You know, the top seed in the West and the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, they've both been sitting basically for a couple days now. I know OKC swept the Grizzlies basically like last week at this point. But then on the opposite side of their bracket, you have the Nuggets and the Clippers. That's just been a rock fight. And I don't think the series is going to go seven. And similarly, the Knicks and the Pistons on the opposite side for the Celtics, like that series has been incredible too. That could also go seven games. So these two rested teams with Boston taking out the Magic in five and then OKC taking out the Grizzlies in four, you know, you might be getting a tired team in this second round.
Very much so. And Charlie, if you're one of those two teams that's got the rest, you're just like, hey, you guys can keep beating the heck out of each other. We'll leave our feet up and hang out for a few more days. But, I mean, we've been talking about it all year long. In the end, those are still the two teams I expect to face off in the finals in Boston and OKC. And if you have the ability to get any extra rest, you're going to take it now. I mean, when you see some of these series and how physical they've become, the first part is, man, you know, where is this during the regular season? I think for all the ratings talk, you go, oh, well, if the games look like this in the regular season, I think a lot more people would be into it night to night. The playoffs are, of course, different. And it changes the tenor and the intensity. But if you have that chance to get those extra days of rest, that's something you can bank on 3-4 weeks from now. I think that's the difference. I mean, any of these teams that are going through these really tough 6-7-game series, to expect them to maintain the same level of play game after game, week after week, that's where it gets really, really tough. And that was the smartest move that OKC made in coming back in that third game in Memphis and finding a way through that big deficit. So they have some time, and Boston wrapped up the Magic real early. And Cleveland also, we should add them. I mean, they rolled through Miami, and they got a few extra days rest. When you have that, it can really set you up for what's coming for a long playoff haul.
We got the late game tonight, Nick. It's the Nuggets at the Clippers. And L.A., man, they're that team. They're a good team, but they can just never seem to get past over that hump. I know they're down 3-2 in this series, but can the Clippers show they're more than just a first-round wonder?
Somehow they're down 3-2 in this series. I mean, it's been one of the most fun series to watch because it's been back and forth and back and forth. And it feels like the Clippers are the better team, but then Aaron Gordon has a buzzer-beating dunk in Game 4 to avoid the 3-1 deficit in that crazy Jokic game, and then Jamal Murray goes off for 40 in Game 5. It's been a weird series, Nick.
It's been really weird. It's been the most entertaining one, I think, game to game. But to the point about the Clippers, this is where I always struggle with the Clippers because I think we all see the talent. And Ty Lue is a really, really solid coach. He repeatedly gets the most out of that group at various points in the regular season. But are you trusting Kawhi? I wouldn't trust James Harden. We know he can drop 40. I mean, hell, it might happen now. But he can also completely disappear when you need him the most. So when you have those type of variables, especially in a game like this one, give me Jokic. I mean, I know what I am getting from that dude every time he steps out on the floor. He is the best player in the game to me. And when you're getting that type of extra lift from Jamal Murray, who in the regular season, you're kind of looking around going, what happened to this dude? And now in the biggest of games, he continues to step up. That's a Nuggets team that has a heck of a lot of confidence because of what they've done in the past. I know the end of the regular season was so weird with launching Malone and Booth, but I would be a little surprised from what we've seen if the Clippers not only can win Game 6 here, but extend it and then find a way to win Game 7.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. And then looking at the other game tonight, Detroit and the Knicks. I think it's been a really intriguing series to keep an eye on because this has been kind of the Cade Cunningham coming out party. This is the first time a lot of people are finally watching him on the big stage, and he's been excellent. The Knicks, meanwhile, have had some questions. Like they've had a few games that really probably should have gone Detroit's way that they've snuck out at the very end, and that's kind of, I think you can tie that to their playoff experience, being able to pull out these games late. But with the Pistons specifically, do you think that they have enough to, if not get this game, not get this series to Game 7, potentially win it and move on to face the Celtics? Or do you think the Knicks will be heading to Boston for the second round?
Well, I there are a few different layers here, Charlie, because no matter who wins, they're going to get drilled by Boston.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I'm all for a team doing as much as they can, but if Boston stays healthy, they are going to roll past the Knicks or the Pistons. Now, having said that, as far as the game tonight goes, Detroit, for them to go into MSG and find a way to win a closeout game in that type of environment, more power to them. I think the crowd in Detroit is going to be absolutely roaring. They're still all mad because of the way that that whistle didn't go their way the other night in game four. If Detroit can get some early momentum, I absolutely think they can win this game six. I just don't believe that they're going to go back into Madison Square Garden and then win game seven. And I say that knowing full well what we all saw last year, which was the Pacers go in to the Garden and do it. The problem is the Knicks were just completely not only exhausted, but they were all hurt. As far as this series, I think the Knicks are just a little bit better. They have that veteran presence. Cade Cunningham, to your point, has been really, really good, and the experience is great for him. I just think the Knicks and their veteran guys on that roster and Tibbs, they just have still a little bit more of an edge over Detroit.
And I got to bring it up to you, Nick, because we have only one second-round matchup set, and it's the Cavaliers and the Pacers. But I'm not going to ask you about that. I'm going to ask you about the Milwaukee Bucks and how it ended. Damian Lillard tears his Achilles, and he's 35 years old. It's a terrible situation for him personally. But the future of Giannis, and now the buzz is real. Like, what does Milwaukee do at this point? You're not good enough to contend in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, Giannis still has tons of trade value. Do you move on from him this offseason? And I know it stinks for Milwaukee fans that have been hearing this for years, but now, especially with the injury that happened to Dame, where you can't really sell yourself on running it back with this team next year, I think it's a legitimate question at this point.
Absolutely it is. And if it were me running that team, that's where you sit down with Giannis and you say, okay, how much does it mean to you to be here with a group that just isn't good enough to win titles? And Charlie, what I would add anecdotally is I wrote a story like 5-6 years ago talking to Giannis about exactly this. He said he wanted to be the guy that was with one team throughout the entirety of his career, like Kobe, like Dirk. He wanted to look up in the rafters and see his number and see that he had been in one place. But things change. I mean, they did win that title. They've had a lot of success, but if you really want to win and if you want to compete for championships, Milwaukee's not the place. It's just not going to happen. They're not set up. They don't have assets, and Lillard's hurt. So it's really a point in time to sit down with Giannis and say, what do you really want? If he still really wants to stay in one place and his family is happy there, great. But if you want to win, now is the time both for Giannis and the Bucks to have that professional divorce.
And Nick, before we let you run, curious your thoughts on what our Pelicans are doing down here right now, man. You got no Joe Dumars, the new executive VP, and then just hired recently former Pistons GM Troy Weaver to be the senior vice president of basketball operations here.
If I am Dumars and Troy Weaver, who I've known for a while, guys, because of the Syracuse connection, what I would do first and foremost is trade Zion. I don't think you can do anything else after you figure out the answer to that question. And we've been having this conversation, Charlie, I know, for years at this point.
Yes, we have.
This team and the cloud that hovers over them all the time because of the ins and outs and the injuries and all the different things that happened with Zion, you've got to answer that question. I just don't see how you can continue to move forward and hope, oh, well, things will change now or it'll be different. I don't think it's ever going to be different. So if I'm Dumars and Weaver, I am sitting there going, what is the best offer we can get for Zion? And we move forward. And once you do that, that sets up everything else that you need to do. But in the short term, once you answer that question, you know, you hope for some lottery luck and maybe make some moves. But other than that, good luck to the Pels down there.
You know, it's funny, Nick, because we're about, I think, 11 days away from the draft lottery. It's not this upcoming Monday. It's the Monday afterwards. And I think there's not even really a more important day for the Pelicans than that. Where are they going to end up? The lowest they could potentially land is pick 8, but they have a 12.5% chance to pick number 1 and win the Cooper Flag lottery. You know, the average is like 4.4. They're the fourth best lottery odds entering this thing. It just feels like so much is going to be decided on that one night, just counting some ping pong balls.
It is the story of bad teams in the NBA, guys. I mean, that's just the reality. If you have struggled long enough and you cannot find your way, your only course of action is to hope that all those lottery balls bounce your way. And certainly in New Orleans, they have seen the good luck of exactly that over time. It just hasn't been able to come together for them. But like so many other bad teams, that is the way that you can instantly get better. And I can tell you, having talked to plenty of people in the league over the last year, Cooper Flagg is that dude. But, you know, we said that about Zion years ago, and he was supposed to be. And he showed to be at times. He just cannot stay healthy. But Cooper Flagg, there aren't many guys you'd trade for him right now in the league.
Nick, thank you, man. Always enjoy you dropping some basketball knowledge on us.
Always great to be with you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll return with even more, so stay tuned after this on WWL. Folks, want to let you know to join a WWL Odyssey Conversation Special, The State of Mental Health. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Mental health's gotten more attention in recent years, but it hasn't gotten better. Join us as we explore how the mental health industry navigates natural disasters, personal trauma, and when people recognize that something may just not be okay. Join us for the next Odyssey Conversation, State of Mental Health. That's 8 p.m. on WWL and the Odyssey app. And Charlie, honestly, I'm kind of checking my mental health after, like, we got that Nick Nuke from Nick Friedell talking about that Joe Dumars, one of the top priorities should be to trade Zion Williamson. And I know we talk about it and there's a speculation around it, but man, it's really hard to wrap my head around what kind of value you're going to get returned for this kid.
I think you at least heavily consider it if you win the lottery. If you win the lottery and get the number one overall pick and win the Cooper
Flagg. Wipe your hands, fresh slate.
Yeah, that's what you do. And then whatever you get in return for Zion is going to be kind of the chest that you can use to build around Cooper Flagg. I think that I struggle to think there's a universe where the Pels win the lottery, take Flag, and don't hit a reset. Don't you think? I mean, there's a couple pieces on this team like DeJounte Murray and CJ McCollum that are kind of older, and maybe you sell off of them as well. But just generally speaking, I think that gives you the chance to hit the reset button.
I just think about a healthy Pels squad with Trey Murphy and DeJounte Murray, Herb Jones, I don't know, and adding a Flag in the mix with Zion seems like it'd be a boost for this team instead of trying to hit the reset button.
I guess. And listen, there's some other prospects up there that I think if you don't get like the Cooper Flagg lottery and you get still the number two pick and you can get like a Dylan Harper out of Rutgers or the three pick, and then you can kind of decide between Baylor's BJ Edgecombe or Rutgers' Ace Bailey. You know, even if you aren't lucky and you don't end up in the top four, because those are four prospects that I just listed off, that will go in the top four picks. At pick five, you know, maybe Derek Queen from Maryland, the big man. I know that a lot of people like Kamen Malawach, the center from Duke. You know, I think he kind of already had that in Missy. So there's some options that the Pelicans have here.
There's another young name you mentioned too that's, you know, you like what you saw from him rookie year.
Absolutely. And, you know, Trey Murphy's a core building block. He's going to be here for a long, long time, and he's going to have a successful NBA career. Hopefully that, you know, ends up in some all-star appearances for him personally as well. It just feels like if you're the Pelicans, and this is a legitimate question that Dumars and Weaver and the front office are going to have to answer, that if they do get lucky and get that top pick in the lottery, what do you do? Do you just throw Cooper Flagg into the mix with what you already have? Or do you say, okay, this is a potential reset that we can hit? I think it's an option. And, you know, either way doesn't necessarily sound like a bad option. I'm pausing because I think Arkansas just hit a three-run tank here, Steve, to take a 5-0 lead over Texas.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, Texas is not looking too hot on their first real road test here. But it's a legitimate question that Dumars and Weaver in that front office will have to answer. What do we do if you win that top pick? Now, if you don't get the top pick, and Cooper Flagg is the only one that I would say, you know, hit the reset for. If you get, you know, a Dylan Harper or an Ace Bailey or VJ Edgecombe, that's where you can say, okay, we'll throw them into the mix with the core that we already have. That would make more sense to me, in my opinion.
I guess the hardest part for me is, you know, the talent that Zion Williamson is. There's no denying it. Yes, the availability is the problem. And there's been a few off the court issues with being tardy for practice or for flights. I'm hoping that can be in check and that it's not a complete attitude adjustment that, you know, this kid needs. But man, just what he provides on the court, he is special in this league.
It's like an angler fish, you know what I mean? Like with like the light, and that's the talent of Zion Williamson. Like, oh, you keep hanging
on
to it.
Get off of it.
No, and I understand, but that's what Nick has been saying on, and he said it, as he mentioned, on the station quite a few times, that until the Pelicans wash their hands of Zion Williamson, it's going to be the same thing every single year.
I'm having a hard time washing my hands. We're going to take a break, though. Be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this. You can chime in. Odyssey, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines, 504-260-1870. Want to know your thoughts, folks. You keeping or trading Zion? We'll be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, real quick look at the college baseball scoreboard in the SEC. And my, oh my, in Fayetteville, the Arkansas Razorbacks have jumped out to a 5-0 lead over top-ranked Texas. They're in the top of the fourth inning over there. And you'd mentioned that you saw that 3-run shot, yep, that the Hogs had hit. And there was also a 2-run homer in that game. So long ball getting it done, yep, for Razorbacks.
2 homers, takes up 5 runs for Arkansas in this early lead. One last thing that I wanted to say before we get done with the Pelicans for tonight, because we have, you know, Jay Johnson stuff to get into and then also draft stuff that we're going to get into as well. I don't want to trade this pick. I see a lot of folks on social media saying that if the Pelicans get a really high pick in the lottery, trade it. Go get, you know, a proven person that could be on the market. I'm kind of anti that, Steve, especially if you get super high. Listen, if you fall to like 6 or 7, sure, at that point, maybe you could consider trading it. But if you get into the top 3 specifically, maybe even like the top 4, I want to keep that pick. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if they have this roster where you think you're trading a player away from making that much of a difference.
Exactly. That's my point. I'm trying to continue to build through the draft, which, right, the Pelicans have been good at in recent years. Now, they have new leadership with Joe Dumars, who has a very sketchy drafting history. Troy Weaver has actually a very solid draft history, which is good. He drafted a lot of the players that ended up making this Pistons core that's been going on this run recently.
Right.
And Bryson Graham has got a really good history here in New Orleans as well. I'm banking on enough bright minds in the Pelicans front office to make a good decision with the top draft pick and have a young cornerstone on this Pelicans roster for the next decade.
Stay locked on to WWL for our top of the now hour news update. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk going to 8 o'clock tonight, folks. See you then.